Hey everybody, it's Axel. Before we get started, I just wanted to remind you that we are on Patreon. We've been doing a ton of podcasts. This season, we've been averaging about 5 podcasts a week for the Game of Thrones season. And guess what? We're not slowing down. We're doing a new podcast on David Simon's new HBO show, The Deuce. DJ is coming out with his own show, Inside DJ's DVR. We've got more podcasts, Winterfell, to give to you. Man, I'm already sitting on 2 or 3 podcasts that we recorded already. And if you were a patron, you'd already be listening to some of them. We're also going to be doing great podcasts just for patrons in the off season as well. We're really going to have a lot more time to do a large variety of stuff, as well as keeping with the podcast Winterfell, Game of Thrones type of stuff that you've come to enjoy. So check us out, Patreon.com/DVR. We're all independent podcasters doing this on our own time. So help us out. Support us. Become a part of the crew. Take care. Dedicated to Game of Thrones and A Song of Ice and Fire, you're listening to Podcast Winterfell, part of the DVR Podcast Network. Check us out at DVRpodcast.com.
Welcome back to Podcast Winterfell. We are a part of the DVR Podcast Network. Check us out at DVRpodcast.com. If you're new to the show, thanks for joining us. We've been covering it all season, and we've done like 5 podcasts a week, so you got a lot to catch up on if you're just starting here. My name is Mike. I do the deep dive every week, and I do the deep dive with Tracy. How's it going, Tracy?
I am mourning the end of summer, but happy to be talking to you tonight, Mike.
Are you mourning the end of the season of Game of Thrones, I mean? Not the yearly season?
Summer, the series?
There you go.
You know what? I'm not. I'm okay. I'm taking it in stride. Yeah, it's fine. I feel like, you know, we're going to get another season. There's so much for us to talk about. I feel like if I wanted to do a reread, I could. There's a hope for a book. Maybe next year. So,
aw, aren't you cute?
I try.
I think that, yeah, I mean, we've been talking about Winds of Winter for so long that, like, I've just put it out of my head at this point. I'm just like, I listened to a podcast called Hardcore History by Dan Carlin, and I really, really love it. It's really spectacular. And it's like the best podcast. It's the best podcast ever made. And I'm saying that on a podcast that I'm currently making. And he does like 4 to 6 hour shows about the Mongols and the Romans. And it's fantastic. But the thing is, it's so good and so long, he only puts out like 2 a year, right? So I just act like he doesn't. I just, like, he's just, every episode he just retires. And then when one happens again, I'm really happy. I'm really surprised. So I'm trying to treat Winds of Winter the way I'm treating Hardcore History now, which is just to put it out of my head.
Well, I would say, I guess it was 3 years ago, I thought to myself, okay, I'm about to start graduate school, so I really hope he doesn't put the book out because I won't have time to dedicate to it. So please, 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 George, I know everybody, like, I'm quietly just like, don't finish it, don't finish it, don't finish it, because I can't read it and I have to finish this program. I finished an MBA last year, and this guy, mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, I'm a year out from it, right? And now I'm like, okay, buddy, like, now's the time.
You're going to make me get a doctorate to distract myself from your book? This is not fair, George.
Like, I could have been podcasting that whole time. That's why I kind of stopped calling into the show, because I'm like, I get so distracted. I get caught up in everything. And I'm just like, I'm going to put my head down. I'm going to focus, finish this program. And then I'm getting back into it. And then that book's coming out, and I've got it all figured out. Yeah.
Yep. It's okay. Lovely to make plans. All right, let's talk. You just reminded me of something I want to talk about for just a brief second here. I don't know if you listened to... Oh, I think you did, actually. You mentioned you listened to the Origins podcast that Axel did, right?
I did.
The first time they were talking about Game of Thrones?
So great.
Okay. So as a part of putting that together, Axel reminded me of two things that weren't actually in the show because they were a little bit later. But first of all, Matt told him that you called into the second podcast Winterfell fan call-in show. The second one. There was one that was probably a shit show, and then there was one that had you on it.
No way! Right? I was on the second one?
That's what Matt told Axel, and I have no reason to doubt him. Why? How did you find out about it? Why did you call? We weren't on the Origins podcast, but it made me curious about your origins.
You know, I remember I used to go on these really long walks, and I had just discovered podcasts like mm-hmm. right before, which is a godsend because I loved Lost. So
right,
these
right.
guys would have had me like insane. So I found out about podcasts when Marc Maron like blew up.
Right.
And I'm like, what the heck is a podcast? And then I'm like, oh my God, this is like so up my alley. Because I just kind of started going away from listening to music on my commute and listening to NPR and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I thought, okay, so this is kind of like stuff that I'm definitely interested in. So I'll
talk radio, you know. Only better, like way yeah. concentrated. Yep.
And then this show came out and I thought, ooh, this is something I like. Let me look around. And at that time, there was pretty much a podcast of Ice and Fire and maybe like two others. So I kind of listened to all the backlogs of those, and then I found Podcast Winterfell, and I started listening on my walks, and I would listen to Matt for hours. Matt and whoever would call in, hours. And I'm just like, I like this. And then I'm like, wow, people can call. And I'm like, okay, well.
I got a phone. Wait a minute.
It's pretty low stakes. You know, and I mean, if I sound stupid, you know, I can't hear people laughing at me. So,
right.
you know, it's fine. I'll survive.
Always an advantage.
And if I don't like it, I'll just never call again. And that's yeah. that.
Well, he said that was the set you called on the second, like, open call-in show. I think he had done other shows before that with some of the Lost people, like you mentioned. But when he started the open call-in, and, you know, so you've been on this Winterfell kick. Contributing to, you know, not just like listening, but contributing for a long time. And, you know, we had high expectations of you this year, Tracy, I have to say. Like, we had, you know, because everybody else who's like, you know, kind of joined the Winterfell team after Matt decided, I mean, not decided, he was just too busy, you know, after Matt couldn't do it anymore, the rest of us had done. You know, like Tim Hines hadn't like hosted the call in, right? But we had all like, you know, so you were kind of the X factor here, but we all had very high expectations based on your call in stuff. And, you know, you nailed it. Like, you've been great this season. Everybody's been really happy. All the listeners, you know, like, you've added a lot to it, and you've basically like kept me from just fucking going and mumbling off of the mouth. Every episode. I mean, you know, like, I need, you know, that I don't stay on task very well. I need somebody to, like, you know, kind of help remind me what we were talking about, because the next thing you know, I'm just talking about Persia and I forget how we got there, you know. And like, you're very knowledgeable about all of this stuff, but like, you're also patient with me, and I appreciate that. So this has been great, and I'm really glad that you know, decided to go on with this, because it's a big, you know, there's a big difference between doing 7 minutes on the call-in and you know, 2 hours every
yeah.
week. You know, it's not the same thing. You know, it's a big change, and you definitely lived up to it. So thank you very much. I just want to say, from me, but also from everybody who has written in to say that they feel like you've done a great job and all that kind of stuff. And I think it just makes perfect sense. Like I said, you called into the second show. Like, your voice has kind of been a part of Winterfell for a long time. So I think it made a lot of sense to expand your role this season. And I'm just glad you lived up to it and I didn't have to edit all your shit out.
Thank you so much for saying that. Mike, you're so easy to talk to. Like, I can't even tell you. So I appreciate you making it easy on me because, you know, originally Axel had just asked me to join the small council. Mm-hmm. And I thought, okay, I could, you know, balance out these guys every so often and, you know, kind of just laugh, and it's a lot more casual. And I get this phone call. I'm on a field trip with my students. I'm in a hotel in South Jersey, and Axel's calling me, and I'm like, what in the hell? I'm getting fired from a podcast I didn't even record yet. I'm like, okay, good job. Like, this is legendary, Tracy, legendary, right? He wants to call me to, like, let me know, all right, we don't need you after all. Thank you, whatever. So I'm, like, ready for Axel to say, like, that. And he says, you know, so we're taking over Podcast Winterfell, and I'm, like, hyperventilating. And I was ready to just say, like, I can't. I'm not, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. I'm not sure. I'm, like, Donald's going to hate me. Like, I was totally nervous. Because I was like, okay, I know all the other guys. I was like, but Donald, he is going to hate me. I already know.
Welcome to the club. Donald hates literally everything. Everyone else is in.
So, and then I just said, you know what? Just do it. And if you hate it, bail. Like, everybody will live. And but give it a shot. You love talking about this stuff. Everybody at work rolls their eyes as soon as you start shooting off.
Yep.
So finally you'll get an outlet.
Had that experience.
I know. And it's like a little embarrassing sometimes. Or when somebody has a question, they go, oh, ask Tracy. She's the Game of Thrones girl.
Yep. Yep. Had that experience. That's why you're so good here. That's why it works. Because we've all had that experience, those of us who do it. You know, I mean, the thing is, like, it's impossible to talk for, you know, 2 hours after every episode and, like, not say some dumb shit at some point. Like, it's not like,
right.
You know, it's just impossible. Like, it's not, that's just not how it works. But you've kept my dumb shit to a minimum, which I appreciate. So, Matt also told Axel, apparently, Matt reached out to me to ask me to come on one of the Winterfell shows, and I don't remember this. I have no reason to doubt him. I'm not sure why he would have done that, but I'm super glad he did. Like, I remember things that I read in books forever. I can tell you what page it was on a lot of times, but shit that actually happened to me a week later, it's completely out of my head. I don't know why that is. That's just how I am. So, you know, I don't actually specifically recall what it was, but I'm sure glad he did, man, because, you know, I had the same experience with Lost where Axel asked me, you know, I think I told that story about ex-girlfriends. It was a mess, that show,
yeah.
You know, but anyway, I had to work past some emotional things to be able to get back to it. But Axel was like, you should watch this show and come on the podcast with us. And so I did. And it made the show, it made Lost so much better. I mean, the experience of Lost so much better. I definitely would have stopped watching in season 4 and season 6. Like, no question, if it weren't for the podcast. But I enjoyed those guys so much. So, you know, being able to, like, come back on here and kind of, you know, bring some of those folks back together. And it's, you know, this has been a really great experience. And it's made the show, watching the show, just much, much better. In the same way that doing the podcast with Matt and Kelly and everybody made reading the books way better. You know, I had book club. I had Game of Thrones book club. And everybody did the goddamn reading. So,
yeah.
You know, it was good book club, you know. So, anyway, that is enough of that, but thank you very much, Matt, for getting me on this thing, because I've really enjoyed it. It's been great. So, if you have enjoyed Podcast Winterfell this season, we've definitely enjoyed having you. All the callers have been great. The feedback has been great. Stick with us. We're going to be doing more Game of Thrones stuff. I'm going to tease a couple of things. Should I tease a couple of things? I could tease a couple of things.
Just a little, a little taste.
A little? All right. I'm not going to tease any of your stuff because you got some things in the works, but you're a very busy person. We're going to see how it works. But we're hoping to get some Tracy before Winds of Winter comes out or the next season, whichever happens first. But what I do, I've got a couple more interviews coming up, actually, another basically kind of historian. This woman, she's too smart for me to try to describe right now. I'll let her talk about herself. But she's going to be coming up. She was actually a recommendation from an interview that I did that I don't think has been released yet with a gentleman named Kevin Uhaldi, who wrote this great piece for Slate about Georgia's philosophy of history. You know, and George's kind of the way George reads the world and how that figures into the books, you know. This guy's super smart. Like, I finished the interview and I was like, that guy was too smart for me to interview. We need to find somebody smarter than me to talk to him because, like, he just, like, I just couldn't keep up with him intellectually, which is, I love those conversations. So that'll be coming out. And then he recommended this woman who I'm going to have the same experience with. What I really need to do is have him interview her. I don't know if that's going to work out, but so she's, you know, she's another medieval historian and somebody who's familiar with the books and with the show and has her own kind of take on the way George has handled it. So I also have an interview set up. We haven't actually been able to schedule it yet because this guy is the psychologist for the Giants. He's the sports psychologist for the New York Giants, and they are very busy right now leading up to the season. But this guy has done a couple articles actually diagnosing clinical diagnoses for characters on the show. And what this dude has to say about Cersei will blow your mind.
Like, I can't wait.
None of it will surprise you, right? I'll say that. Like, you already know all this stuff. It's just hearing a doctor describe it in yes. clinical terminology and, like, all together in a row is like, oh my God, it'll make you hyperventilate. Like, it's incredible. And listening to him talk about Arya too is just heartbreaking. So anyway, I haven't actually gotten the chance. Yeah, he's great. He's really great. And I actually filmed an interview with him about the neuroscience of competition and sports and, like, mind games for a completely different project. And then I find this article with him talking about Cersei, and I was like, shit, I already know that guy. Like, yes! He was just like, I'm so excited to talk to him because I already know he's a good interview. So those are coming up. And also, if you enjoyed the Mythos of the Raven show, my next one is going to be Mythos of the Dragon. And I will be doing something very similar to what I did with Mythos of the Raven, where I'll be talking about kind of the global mythology around dragons, which is actually very personal to me, because the symbol of the winged serpent, right, which the dragon is one version of the winged serpent, the symbol of the winged serpent is something that exists in virtually every culture across time and across the planet, and that was the first kind of moment of real interconnectedness that really, like, landed with me as an adult. And so it's the mythology of the dragon is actually kind of personal to me, even more so than the mythology of the raven. And the way George has worked that into the stories, I think now is an appropriate time to start talking about it. The dragons have been really powerful this season. So I'm interested to get into that. One last little teaser. Your boy Axel Foley, podcasting royalty. By the way, if you didn't know that, it's true. Podcasting royalty. Is doing basically like kind of an audiobook version of The Ice Dragon, of George's short story, The Ice Dragon. Which, you know, with Axel and his voice and his, like, little dramatic readings and everything, you know, I'm going to do a little sound effects pass. It'll be really cool. It'll be really cool. So we got some things in the works. Yeah. The season's over, you know, the show guys everybody's working on the show. They're working on the next season. Theoretically, George is working on the book. And definitely we are working on some new podcasts. So stick around with us. You know, doesn't cost anything, right? Isn't that how that works? Aren't podcasts still free? Because Axel sends them to me, so it's like getting a newspaper from your cousin or something, right? But as far as I know, they're still free, so hang out. Also, we're going to be doing some other shows with under the banner of DVR. We're going to be doing, I am going to be covering The Deuce, the new show from David Simon and George Pelicanos, the guys that did The Wire. I have done the first four episodes already with Jason Bailey, who is the film editor of Flavor Wire and the author of several excellent books on film. And the dude that I know who's watched the most movies of any dude that I know. And I know like 50 of those dudes, and he's the one who's watched the most movies. And, you know, he's a professional critic, and he's really great the way he talks about it. And we're both kind of obsessed with 1970s New York. So we're both really excited about it. We've done the first four episodes of The Deuce, and it is spectacular so far, in my humble opinion. So check us out at dvrpodcast.com or on Twitter at DVR. What is it? At DVR Network? I don't know what the Twitter
DVR
is.
DVR Podcast.
There you go. Thank you. DVR Podcast. God, how could I forget that? That's so. I just said it. It's the same thing as the website. I'm a fucking idiot. I'm getting off track here, Tracy, because I'm going off of your schedule of like the things we talked about. This is just me. All right, let's dial it back. We're going to be doing DJ Tim Hines DVR. Tim Hines is going to be... Anyway, enough about that. Stick with us. We're going to be doing lots of stuff. It's going to be cool. Let's wrap up this season. That's what we're here for, right? Season
yes.
wrap? All right. So rank the seasons then.
Oh, my God. That is hard.
That's hard?
Yeah. I honestly don't know what to do with this season.
Yeah.
I'm not unhappy with it overall. But I think I'm kind of grading on a curve a little bit. Because, yeah, I know it's the end, and I feel like I know these characters so well, so there's not as much work that has to be done, and I'm so excited for new material. So my expectations were a little different. I will probably rank this in the middle of the pack somewhere.
All right, what's it over? Because I know what it's under, and I know why. What's it over? I mean, you know, everybody's got their own, right? But, like, there's some obvious ones. Okay, so what's it over?
I mean, I think it's better than season two. Probably four and five as well.
I'm a season two defender, but go ahead.
I'm coming around some... There are a few episodes in season two that I'm okay with. I really am. And there are some really great scenes. But as a season, that Harrenhal stuff had me mad.
All right.
Yeah, I think four and five had too many issues for me. So yeah, maybe two, four, and five, if I had to guess.
All right, but I mean, what in this season? Where was the binetting in this season? Where was the red wedding? Where was anything even half as satisfying as Ramsay? Littlefinger? I guess.
No way.
But the lead up to the moment, not even close. Are you kidding me? I mean, I don't know. Like, this is just one of those things where it sounds harsh or whatever, you know, but relative to the stuff that's come before, you know, I mean, rather dissatisfying.
So you have it dead last? Next to last?
I mean, it sounds weird to say dead last, but what about it brings it above that? Randall Tarley? there's even the things that worked had all kinds of issues on the way. So, I mean, when I'm trying to think about, I wouldn't put Blackwater above some of the other battles, but I would put Cersei and Sansa during Blackwater above everything that happened this season for either of them. You know, Tommen last year was not my favorite character, and frankly, didn't really do a whole lot, to be totally honest, right? But the way he went out, get out of here. That was amazing.
That was great.
That was amazing, right? And not only that, but you have the Sept at this. I mean, just like, what? Holy, wow. I didn't see any of that coming. it tied up all kinds of shitty loose ends. I mean, like, it was such a like, it's such a, you know, if we're talking about pruning this tree, I mean, they pruned a branch, right? Like, and in a way that I didn't see coming, that I totally believed that, you know what I mean? And like the sept, you saw the sept coming kind of, because you heard, you know, Qyburn talking, like you were aware kind of the wildfire and that stuff, right? There were little hints, but the idea that she was just going to crater the whole thing with everybody in it.
Right. Nah, I think, we knew something big would happen, but we had no idea the reach of that big move that she was going to pull. To think that it would take out, what, 6 named characters?
Right.
That's insane. That's why I love her.
And then, right, but then, okay, what consequence did she pay for that this season? Nil. How is that possible? How is that possible? Like, we don't even get a scene where, you know, somebody's, like, throwing tomatoes at her like they did at Joff. Well, of course she's not going to go outside. So, I mean, but the idea that, like, what, like, the resistance of the Bannermen was somehow? Get out of here. I mean, you have this amazing moment last season, and then this season it's just, like, whatever, man. Like, it was just a booger she had to blow out and flick on the floor, and that was all that it mattered. That's crazy. And, you know, regardless of, like, I mean, I think Susan's point last week about Fagon and you know, the idea that Cersei is taking on some roles that she won't be playing in the book, you know, I think that's a very good point. But that notwithstanding, if this happened, it's just hard for me to imagine that she's going to blow up the sept in the book and then just, we're never going to talk about it again. Get out of here.
No way. Oh no, that'll be, and people will be talking about it in other countries, chapters and chapters and chapters later.
Yes. Yes.
And it will have a distortion to it. You know, the lies that happen from the game of telephone, it'll turn into a completely different animal.
Yep. In general, I have been happy with the way they've condensed the books. You know, I felt like the way they handled Jane Poole and Sansa was great. I thought it was great. Because you took a character that I don't give a shit about, and you put a character that I at least know about, and to be honest, came to care about in her process with Ramsay. I was not interested in Sansa when she was with Joff. I was not, you know what I mean? The whole Littlefinger going up to the Aarons, and there is hours of recorded audio of me complaining about not being a fan of all of that, right? I came to care about Sansa when she got in the same room with Ramsay. And through that whole storyline, right? So the same thing that drove Matt out of the podcast for a while, and not just, I mean, I just point out Matt because he was the person, like, in my life. That decision affected me somehow, right? But the same thing that drove him and many other people away from the show is the thing that tied me into that character more than anything else, right? And I am still sticking with that character as a result of her storyline from Ramsay, you know? And so to me, that is a great decision they made as far as how that stuff played out in the books, what we've seen of it versus how it played out in the show. And so I am, as ever, open to the possibility that I'm going to read Winds of Winter and be like, oh, Jesus, this is a huge mess. Not that it's bad, you know, but just in terms of like how you condense this into a 7-episode season. Holy shit, right? And then maybe I'm open to the possibility that I'll respect their decisions more. But as it stands, it just seems like there was a whole lot of, I mean, just the sept is the main thing that didn't have consequences, right? But the things that we did get, like the Hound and Brienne's conversation, is great. I saw a tweet, what was it? It said, like, you know, look at these two talking like divorced parents trying to amicably raise their murder baby Arya. Right? Like, that's great. It was also like 4 sentences and totally irrelevant.
Yeah. I agree.
So that I really liked, that I end up landing like, you know, but so what about it?
So, I mean, to your point, I wrote down just the things that I thought were highs. And, you know, they're not consequential things, right? They're things that it's nice that we have them, but if they weren't there, we'd be fine if the dialogue was awesome, you know?
Right.
So I have highs, dragons, costumes, Davos, Tormund, Hound, Cersei. Those are my highs that I felt strongly about and like that mm-hmm. came to my mind first.
Okay,
I mean,
dragons,
the dragons
in terms
is
of
the
CGI
team.
Or,
yeah, that's
okay,
what I'm saying. But
that's a different, that's a technical skill
yeah,
that we can agree
and, yeah.
was on evidence, right? That they got the best in the world. But in terms of story, talk
yeah,
to me
not
about
there.
The dragons.
Yeah, it's really not there. I mean, look, Davos, I think he was great this season, but Davos is not a top-tier player, right? He's not a starter.
Mm-hmm.
I need yep. my starters to be highs. I mean, Cersei is a starter, sure, but she's just one.
Right.
The Hound, I loved what they did with him. Still
right.
not a starter.
Bench player at best.
Right. The bench is awesome.
He was in
but
three
I've only
episodes.
Got... I've got one sixth man award, and like,
yep. that's exactly right. That's exactly right. That's
but I
exactly
want to give
right.
out MVP trophies, and I don't know what to do here. Yep. And it's, I guess, as you're talking, I'm looking at my list, and I'm like, you know what? The
yep.
things that should be high should be so and so storyline.
I mean, Danny
you know?
Got to goddamn Westeros this season, and like, it just. Mm. It just was weird. It just wasn't like, it didn't feel like we had been waiting six seasons for that one moment on the beach.
You know what the
you
problem
know,
is?
Like,
it happened in a vacuum.
Yeah,
it happened
okay.
to her.
Yes.
It happened
yes.
to the Unsullied and Missandei. It happened to Jon.
Right. But it didn't
it
happen
barely
to Westeros. Yes.
Right. What
yes.
about, you know, all the other people? What
I didn't.
Is-
I Yes. I had not worded. I had not thought of it that way, but that's exactly right. It didn't happen to Westeros. So what's
so,
the fucking difference? She's just closer
right.
to the like she's closer to the wall, but in terms of her story, there's no difference.
And her impact on the country really matters, right? Like how
you want
people
it to
are responding to her. So we should know because I mean, are their minds going to have to change eventually? When did they hear about it? You know, I mean, in the books, we know that the people at White Harbor, right, all the guys who are on ships, when they come in to port, they're talking about the Dragon
yep.
Queen, and it's still rumors, but it's out there. So people are talking
yep.
about it. We don't really know who's heard something and how and why, and are they pissed? Like, when they hear the name Targaryen, do they, you know, pull back, or are they like, you know what, thank God.
Yep.
This is what we need.
And this
so
is
that
also such
great.
A great opportunity to do something that George does all the time, which is to show the small people essentially saying, whoever is shitting in the fucking toilet in the Red Keep is basically irrelevant to my life. Like,
mm-hmm.
I'm out here trying to keep my head from getting cut off and my kids from getting taken by these marauding assholes. And I have yet to meet a king who can actually do anything about that. I've heard rumors that once upon a time, you know, whatever, Torrhen Stark bent the knee and all of a sudden there was peace, right? But how many people died leading up to that? It just like, this is something that's very much present in the books that just does not exist in this season, especially of the show. And that's crazy. With
yeah,
what's happened, like with what you're like, exactly what you're saying with her arriving there, the idea that we don't get that perspective is insane.
And I mean, look, if she stopped at Dragonstone, the people of Storm's End and surrounding areas need to be responding to this, right?
Where
I mean,
are they? There's not one shoeshine boy left.
We don't know. Yeah, so world building, right? I guess like if we had to sum it up, the world is not lived in anymore.
Yep.
And that's unfortunate, right? We're watching scenes that have been pulled out instead of us sort of getting a sneak, you know, we're not watching them. were sort of like just, you know, clipping out pieces and showing us.
And I can think of a million other little things that they could show that I would feel. I don't give a shit how the Dothraki feel about being in Westeros. Like, the Dothraki can basically just remain a marauding horde at this point, because they were a thing for her to conquer, and now they're a tool for her to use. But it's fine if we don't get, you know, some specific scene with a bunch of Unsullied guys going, you know what I really miss? Goat milk yogurt. I can't get that here. They've got it all over. It's all over Essos. I can't get it here, you know? I don't need that. Right? But how Westeros is reacting to the arrival of a Targaryen with three dragons seems to me relevant.
And she's letting them fly all over the place. Like,
yes! It's not a secret.
Don't tell me nobody saw them. Oh, man.
It's
why
not
am
a secret.
Even...
You know, the Lannister army is gone, right? And apparently that's irrelevant because the Golden Company's just going to come. And so that just, again, it just no consequences for that whatsoever. Like, Cersei didn't show a moment of fear, not a moment where she was like, oh, no, things might be going bad for us. It's just the same, you know, bullshit and bravado, right? Now, I mean, there are some interesting developments in her relationship with Jaime, but why is that? Because she is, if vulnerable to anyone, somewhat vulnerable to him. Right? So we see some interesting developments there. But what else? I mean, where else has she really, like, we've seen her kind of grow into the Tywin role, and that was interesting. But again, like, there's just no consequences for her, for any of her actions. And then Jaime leaves. And okay, so, like, that's a consequence, you know. But that one's also been coming.
Right.
Like, that's not like, you know, this is not a big, huge surprise. You know, the question there is whether or not she had sunk low enough to have the mountain kill him. The question is not, you know, whether or not Jamie's got a good, like, reason to leave. And the fact that when he finally does leave, he's like, oh, it's because, like, I made a promise to Tyrion? Get the fuck out of here. That's why you're leaving? Like, that's, you know, even as he goes out the door.
Honestly, he was mad. He was also mad about the Euron thing. Like, let's be real.
Sure.
That was also small, right? Like, this silly, petty little, whereas this is just catching up to the book where he has already had it with her.
And why didn't we, I mean, like, why didn't we get, like, he made a promise to Tyrion and he's mad because Euron said he doesn't have a hand. Like, that's why he's leaving. After 7 seasons, he's never slept with anybody but her. She's pregnant, and he's leaving because Euron's cracking butthole jokes? That fuck out of here. That's insane. Like, that's just like, you know, I think, like, what you're saying about Cersei being the best character on television, to me, the way I hear you say that, right? What stands out to me is the way she remains so steadfastly dedicated. Right?
Right.
And
no matter what.
Just, you know, consequences be damned, man. This is what she's doing, and she's doing it, and nobody's talking her out of it, right? And that, I agree, played well this season. But it could have been so much better if we would have seen her have even private moments of vulnerability.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm thinking about vulnerability, she cracked a little dealing with Martell. I mean, not Martell, the Sand. Alaria, Sand. You know, when she was talking about Myrcella, we saw her kind of lose her.
If you don't give me
that. The slightest choke. Not much else.
And this is the thing. I'm not talking about Lena Headey. I really am not, like, I don't feel like, if it's coming across as me talking about performance, I'm not talking about performance. I'm strictly talking here about, and what you're saying there is, like, we get the slightest crack in this moment where she's talking to the murderer of one of her children. Like, what, I don't know. It just seems like she just was not given layer. I don't know what. I can't wait to see if any of this shit matters in the book. And maybe the reason it doesn't matter is because Susan's right and Cersei's way out by now. And all this shit is Fagon, and it's a whole other universe in King's Landing right now. And so now we get back around to some, like, the thing that I like to say least in life, which is that Donald's right about a lot of his complaints here.
Yeah.
In regards to, you know, now I don't think it has anything to do with being lazy or rich or any of that dumb shit that he blames it on. I think it has to do with the fact that they had George and his enormous story and his enormous world building to work with. And now they clearly don't. And they can't fill in bullet points nearly as well as they can condense prose.
So,
or maybe it's just getting too complicated to, like, I mean, you know.
I can feel them reverse engineering everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's the problem. I maybe all writers and showrunners do that, right? What do I know? I'm not a writer. But I shouldn't feel it. I shouldn't know it.
Right. Right.
And I feel like people are just being shifted around because, like, Jamie's leaving because now it's time for them to be apart.
Right.
And you're saying the reasoning is bullshit because if we look at all the other things that happened between them, he would have left a long time ago.
And see, this is the thing. Even if what we just need is for them to be apart right now, that's fine. I don't have any beef with them being apart or any of that shit. I'm asking for a couple of lines of dialogue where he says, "You're the only person I've ever loved. Why are you treating me this way?" Right? Like, that's all I need. Like, a couple of moments where it's about them and not about fucking Euron, who just showed up.
Right.
Like, and the king, Euron is, we all agree, Euron is great. The actor's great. The character was great all season. He fooled everybody in the meeting with the dragons. You know, all that stuff, like, is not to complain about any of that stuff, because to me, Euron was one of the highlights of the season. But for Jaime to leave because of that, because of a promise he made to Jon goddamn Snow, get out of here, and not reference, anyway, we have this whole thing where they go above the wall, and I well laid out all of my complaints about that shit, right? And It seems like it all worked out fine, right? They get the thing, they make it back, they somehow have the chain exactly as long as it needs to be so it can scare Cersei without actually eating her. Everything is fine. I'm not actually complaining about that. It's just hard not to notice on a rewatch. But so it seems like all that worked out great. Okay, fine. How did all of that work out great? Because they made this big goddamn stupid decision and they did this whole thing and then it didn't have any consequences. They just come back. Like, what are the consequences? That Jon's banging Dany and Beric's dead?
Yeah. I mean,
like, that sucks.
No,
well, the dragon.
Not dead.
Oh, sorry, Thoros. And he's, you know, and the dragon is there. But we talked about all of this. I talked about all of this ad nauseum after the episode, which is, I love the idea of the Night's King having a dragon. You just didn't need to do all that dumb shit to make that happen. There are easier ways to make it happen. And you see that when she shows up there, whatever, a few hours later on the dragon. We went over all of this. I'm not going to go over it again. But
yeah, did you watch after the episode?
No. Tell me about it.
I can't remember the words, but I remember being pissed off because that whole reverse engineering thing, I think that's why I started thinking about it, because something they said about the wall coming down and why it came down the way it came down, it was something like, what could be powerful enough to bring the wall down? Oh, a dragon. Like,
oh my God. Maybe Donald's right. So maybe they are fucking lazy.
So it wasn't like, oh, this happened. So then the dragon's there. So then, it was like, the wall's got to come down. How can we get this thing down? Oh, and then it worked that way.
Wait, the same answer we have for every other tense moment since season 4. I mean, seriously, in season 2, she burns the guy
Karth.
The Nightshade dude in Karth, right? She burns him with the dragon. In season 3, I don't remember what happens.
Oh, because
all
that,
I remember is the Red Wedding.
That's probably when she got the Unsullied, right?
That's when she got the Unsullied. So she
was the first
she burns the slave master. Yep.
Right.
She
burns the slave dude. There we go.
That's exactly right. Season three. Okay, let's keep going. Season four. I mean, you know, it just like it's been the same answer over and over and over. Right? Where the dragon is, you know, now sometimes it works. You know, she didn't need the dragons when she burned the Dash Kaleen. You know, she just burned the Dash Kaleen and walked out and achieved literally the exact same thing with literally the exact same group of people that she did in season one, right? It's just a larger group of people, you know, but she does the exact same thing. And then now we have, you know, so it just like the idea that this is, it just is. So now what? Now we got to bring a wall down. Well, it's a nail. We got a hammer. What else are we going
right.
to do? You know, and I mean, in times it's, you know, there's times when it's really exciting and it's really completely badass. And that's the thing when you're watching it, you know, I mean, I guess that's why this is the deep dive, right? Like, because, you know, I'm not complaining about how fast a fucking raven can fly. I'm complaining about, you know, Dragon Ex Machina, right? Like pulling out the same answer to every problem is just lame.
It's frustrating. And you know what? I feel like that'd be okay if Danny had given us what break the wheel really means. If we had a better sense of what she really thinks about John. Right. Like if she was a fully formed person, we could kind of say like, yeah, she always, you know, gets the dragon or does fire, whatever. But she's awesome. She's smart. She's funny. She's a great leader or not a great leader. And I hope somebody, you know, beats her, whatever. But it's hard to really have a true opinion of her. I'm kind
because
of just basing it on like, go,
dialogue.
Girl.
Yep.
Yeah.
That is a really sweet ass coat. So what? Like, that's great. I hope they get every Emmy for wardrobe. I hope they get every Emmy for CGI. Like, you know what I mean? None of the, like, the technical work, the professional work on the show was spectacular. You know? I mean, Sam was great. Bran didn't bother me a bit. You know, like, it just, I don't, there was so many of those elements are top tier, are the best show in television, you know, and you can't, you don't want to take anything away from any of that. The goddamn Warhammer was a work of art, you know, and I don't want to take away from any of that. But the story elements were just
that's not why we
watched lacking.
The show.
That's exactly
right.
That's
if
exactly
we want
right.
good costumes, we there's a I think a reality show for that stuff, right?
Exactly like, right. Yep, it's exactly
so.
Right.
Yeah, because yeah, my highs are pretty weak. Yeah.
And the thing is, that's not because, you know, you don't have good taste or you don't know what the fuck you're talking about. That's because
no,
those
these
were
the
things
highs.
That were available to you. Right.
These
exactly.
Were the highs.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's and I think that that is really kind of confirmation of my feelings when the things that you're giving me are bench players. Because that's what you have to offer. It's not, you know, what are you going to do? I mean, all I needed was two sentences from Jamie and I would have shut up. You know, because the rest of the season, you see him like struggling and he's having the same struggle. He's been living the Tyrion versus Cersei struggle his whole life. You know, like it doesn't, to me, I'm fine with all of that. I'm fine with him still trying to maintain that balance. Even in this situation, even after everything else that's happened, I'm fine with him being upset with Tyrion for killing their father. All that stuff is fine. I believe. Great.
It makes sense.
It makes perfect sense. But when he leaves over Euron, that's bullshit, man. And that's easily fixed bullshit is the thing that I think is really disappointing me at this point is that that's easily fixed bullshit. You know, and I had little complaints about Sam and things this season, and I'm not even going to go talk about none of that shit. I loved Sam. I have, like, my little complaints about the way the Old Town was handled, all that shit is irrelevant because ultimately it's, you know, it's not really the focus of the show, and it's fine. you know, the way everything worked out for Sam, I'm happy with. I'm just glad him and Gilly are still in the show, to be completely honest with you. I like the characters. I'm glad they're still there. The idea that he's linked up with Bran again, I love all that shit. Because between the two of them, I think, you know, hopefully Gilly can contribute a little something so we can excuse her still being around and being optimistic. You know, all that stuff is fine. Because I don't need consequences for Sam. I don't need for his father to ream him out about taking the fucking sword before he gets cooked by a dragon. I don't need that at all. And I don't mind Randall Tarly getting cooked by a dragon because I don't care about consequences for Randall Tarly. You know, but there's so many other kind of things happening around them, the things that really matter, that I just can't give that pass on.
So. But like, to me, I'm going to push back just a little bit, all
please,
right?
Please, God, yeah. Do.
Because all of this, I don't care. I mean, like, well, shouldn't we at least a little bit, right? Like, when we go to the Citadel, if you've been mentioning a location and maesters since episode one, season one, you've got to act like it matters a little bit, right?
No, I don't want to
watch something and like by episode three, get the sense that like, okay, we're just killing time here. Even
totally
if
agree.
We are, I don't want to feel that way. And I felt
I'm
that way.
I'm just saying if I totally agree. I'm just saying if Danny's storyline showed me some evolution in Danny's character, if Cersei's storyline showed me some consequences for her character, I would fucking forgive Old Town. You know what I mean? I think that's what I'm saying.
Okay.
What I'm saying, like, not. I totally agree with everything you just said. And we had those conversations during the season after the episodes. I can just forgive that stuff. I have a very hard time forgiving Cersei getting out of this scot-free, which so far she has. You know.
Well, you know, who's going to... Anybody that would have been able to... give a consequence. I mean, who can?
I'm saying, okay.
If she lost the love of the people, like, I don't even know what that would look like.
Well, what that would look like is, you know, because the people never loved Cersei.
Right.
Like, that was never her bag.
So, yeah. You know, so I'm just
trying
to, like.
She never gave a shit about that either. But at what point does that become a threat? Well, it certainly felt like it was a threat at points with Joffrey, didn't it?
And even with the High Sparrow, right? Like, it looked like...
Very much so.
There
very
could be a movement
so.
Against her.
Very
but
much
that,
so.
But she cleared the table.
Okay, she cleared the table of the religious threat, right? But then you've got a whole room full of her bannermen... Right. And you get no pushback from them whatsoever. They don't get any dialogue. They're extras. Like nobody in that, you know, of course, like nobody's going to like run up and punch her in the face or whatever. Nobody's going to throw a tomato at her and say shame because she's got the mountain standing in front of her now. Right. But some sort of pushback. And even if those people aren't directly threatening her, they could very easily say nobody wants to fight for us right now. Like, I don't know what you want me to do. You know what I mean? Like, there's everybody here believes in the Seven. Some sort of like of the Bannermen, or even if they don't ever get a talk, give it to Randall Tarly, give it to Jaime, because he's been out talking to these people. But let me know that people don't want to just follow her around. You know, you gave me a little bit of her saying, like, you know, she's going to come from a foreign land and bring, you know, a screaming horde and all these godless heathens. And, you know, we got some of that like bullshit nationalism that has not gone away. Right. But we didn't get, you know, any like that just sounded like just boilerplate language that she just used because she knew she could. You know, it wasn't like it was really even directed at anything. And wouldn't it be nice to have gotten a moment where somebody's like, everybody's pissed off at you right now. Like, we need to remind them why this matters. You know, I mean, I don't want the show to turn into the goddamn West Wing, but there could have been something, you know.
Well, when Randall Tarly was talking to Jaime about how he's always been, you know, he's known Olenna forever and how could he betray her? That might have been a good time to say, Why would I betray her for a person that I hear, you know, was behind the sept?
And besides,
bring it up. Just bring it up.
Everybody believes that. Like, even, you know what I mean? Even if she denies it, everybody in this entire country believes it, and everybody's pissed off about it. You know, like, right. Let's give me a little bit of the propaganda chat. You know, and again, these are things that, like, you could have referenced these things with a few lines of dialogue. Like, I'm not asking for whole new scenes. I'm not asking, you know, like, I could certainly come up with a bunch of them. But, you could also have handled this in a number of ways that
but
aren't
it's almost
particularly
like,
complicated.
You know, they kind of said, well, we know that we're going to have Randall follow her anyway, and then he's going to die in two episodes, so... why bother?
So why not give him the opportunity to speak truth to power?
I agree.
You know he's going to die in two episodes anyway.
I'm the one who wants another episode.
Exactly.
For all
that's
stuff.
What I'm saying. I'm just asking for some fucking dialogue. You want a whole new episode, which, by the way, I completely support. But I'm just saying there are simple solutions to these problems. And why am I... sitting here doing a podcast and I am talking about all of these simple problems? Like I said, I am more than willing to suspend judgment until I've read George's stuff and I have some sense of what they were working with and how they had to combine it, because I think they've done it well in the past. But the holes in this season are such that it's hard for me to imagine those holes being in the book. And part of it, too, is a problem of concentration. You know, Dany uses the damn dragons to get out of everything in the book, too. It's just every time she does it, it's 1,000 pages apart. So it doesn't feel quite so concentrated is really the only word. You know, it feels a little more, I don't know what, but looser. It's less noticeable, I guess.
I think because in the book, we're kind of like, she's got to use the dragon. She's got to get the dragon. You know, there's
right.
so much thinking in between.
Right.
And it's like, how is she going to get out of this? You know, it's not a scene that pops up and tells us how to feel. We're kind of mulling it over maybe for a few days, a week before we get to the next Dany chapter.
Yep. And, you know, it's those kinds of things that I'm like, I'm ready to be patient for, you know, but I don't know. Overall, man, like I'm having a hard time ranking this season with the others. You know, I can pick out certain moments that were like, oh, that was super dope. You know, I really liked the big Lannister, you know, barbecue. I thought that scene was cool as shit, you know. I mean, I can definitely, you know, I liked the scene with the bear a lot, you know. I mean, I can definitely pick out things that I really liked. But, you know, it's the same thing. I mean, we can talk about Arya and Sansa as well. You know, they went 4 episodes doing this weird thing. And then in the end, they just, like, didn't exist anymore. Whatever. Like, what was all that about? I don't know. Maybe Littlefinger was listening. Maybe not. Who gives a shit? We just had to keep their faces on screen.
Bizarre.
You know, leading up to the Littlefinger murder. Well, get that. Come on. Like, it's just, it's hard for me to imagine. Anyway, so we have that whole thing, and then there's no consequences. Again, for their relationship, for something, for any, you know, let me see it matter somehow. In that scenario, it did not matter. Was that about, like, tricking Littlefinger into the same room he's been in every time there's been a decision to be made? Because he wants to be there over... Yeah, he wants to be there overlooking her, making sure he knows what's going on. Maybe he'll have something to say, showing his face, you know, acting like he's important, right? So you had to do this whole bullshit thing to get him there with those other... No, you didn't. You've done that every episode. That's ridiculous.
So I've been kind of thinking about why Arya and Sansa's storylines look like this.
Mm-hmm.
And so the spoiler chapters that came out, most of the stuff, like for Arya, has already happened in the show. Like the Winds of Winter mm-hmm. stuff that came out, that already happened. It right. happened in multiple places in previous seasons.
Right.
But what was not there was almost an acknowledgement of... I want to say sexuality, I guess, right? Like, I'm not saying Arya's having sex. She's not.
Mm-hmm.
But you know how she, like, in, I guess, Clash or maybe Storm of Swords. She's like rolling around with Gendry. Mm-hmm. And like Gendry's like, this is weird, right? Mm-hmm. But she doesn't get it. She doesn't get it yet, right? She's still too young. That's gone in this chapter, right? There's like an acknowledgement. It's hard to explain, but it's there.
Okay.
And I wonder if it's too adult for who the character is in the show, and they just can't go there.
Yep.
Right? Like it's too weird. You know, the way Maisie Williams looks season one, like you can't go there.
Right.
So I don't know what the next chapter is going to bring, of course, but like I did feel that. And even in Sansa's chapter, like she kind of acknowledges that, you know, she's a woman and like what's expected of her. And so I'm guessing thinking
about banging one of these dudes eventually.
Yeah, right? Like, how long can they really keep Sansa from doing that, right? I don't know.
I think one more season for sure.
So,
I mean, she's also sexually traumatized.
Right. Now there's this, like this whole additional layer with the show, which please let them hire somebody who can handle it.
Oh my God. I'd rather they just leave it alone. Oh my God.
Please just like put the camera on a dolly and pan away. Like pull back. Pull back, please. Oh God, I'm talking to a filmmaker. You're probably like, Tracy, that's not how that works.
No, but as a fan, I definitely understand what you're saying. You know, as a watcher, I get it. You know, I mean, as a director, I want to make you like deal with every single thought I've had in the process of making this movie. Right. But that makes shitty movies, you know, it does. It makes shitty movies. And that's one of the like maturity. That's one of the maturity processes in making movies.
You need an editor
who is learning how to like, how to like remember like what's inside voice and what's appropriate to say, you know, to people who aren't you. Right. And it works the same in movies that it does in conversation, you know. The difference is those are recorded so people can bother you about it forever. Like a podcast.
Oh, God. Well, I mean, as far as Winterfell, I mean, that was definitely a low for me. And it was a low because I really wanted it. And when Arya said she was on her way there, my expectations shot up.
Yeah.
And it was such a letdown. You know, I feel like Sansa was pretty steady in who she was and was fairly true to her character. But Arya was like all over the place and it didn't make sense to me. And then nobody had any real motivation. I didn't know what anyone wanted.
Right. And, you know, Arya shows up and she's training with Brienne and everybody's like, this is amazing. You know, and she tells the guys, you got to let me in. And then she disappears. And you know what I mean? Like all that stuff. We were so on board for all of that.
All of that is classic Arya, right? Like classic. She's back. And then
you take me through this whole thing and then it doesn't matter. That's what I'm upset about. I can forgive the thing if it matters. Doesn't matter. So what do we do it for? Just like to
because
so
they needed
had
to kill
to complain
Littlefinger.
About on Twitter. Okay, but you didn't need to do all that shit to do that. And also, I'm glad Littlefinger is dead, but that ain't a B-netting. Come on. Not even close. You know, it's better than like Liza Aaron, but it's not Kat. Come on. You know, and that's like the big. Anyway. All right. I feel like we should just stop doing this because I'm like tired of listening to myself complain. Even though I could say more. What else do you have things? I mean, did I just completely fucking ruin this whole thing for you?
Well, I was talking myself into liking the season more at the now that it's over and kind of looking at it as like a whole piece. And I'm like, I'm okay with it. You know, I was just like, I'm fine.
Yep.
I mean, there were some things like I wrote down neutral. I have two things that I was just kind of like, eh. The funky timeline thing. I didn't expect it. So it took a couple episodes to sort of like relearn how to watch this thing. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like it, mm-hmm. that stuff kind of mattered before mm-hmm. and now it doesn't. So now, okay. Like I didn't want to have to adjust, I guess. You know what I mean? Like I wanted mm-hmm. everything to make sense. Now you've changed it up. So I was just like, eh. And then John and Danny, well, I expected them to get together and they did, and that's fine. But I've said it multiple times, so I won't go over it again. But something was really lacking in that relationship for me.
Yeah. I mean.
I was just like, eh. They're together. Okay.
She's pregnant and he's going to die and she's going to be sad about it. And that's fine. All that works for me. I don't know. That didn't bother me. I mean, obviously, I'm not on here like, what are you talking about? It was amazing. You know, uh-huh. like, I don't know. Okay, you said earlier you watched Lost, right?
Yeah.
You remember the scene when Desmond drowns? I love you, Desmond. I love you, Penny. You remember that shit? That shit was like, I mean, oh my God. Like, I'm getting misty talking about it, right? Like, wow, you know? And that, like, the power of that relationship. Oh my God.
Yeah. Desmond you know? And Penny were.
Oh my God. And they were I on network. About, there was no boobs. They yeah. could barely kiss. Like, yeah. you know.
I still think about not Penny's boat. That moment.
Yes.
I still yes. think about that.
Yes. That shit was amazing. And there was not a single not Penny's boat in this episode of Game of Thrones. And I know that that's a weird reference, but you know what I'm saying because you yeah. just said it. Right.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, with Don, it was fine, but there wasn't anything about it that had me just like, oh my God.
You know, it's like, you know, the new school year is starting, and eventually, like, one of the star football players is going to end up going out with, like, one of the cheerleaders or the dancers, and it's going to be like, oh, they're dating. Okay.
Obviously. Right.
Like, yes. Do they like each other? I don't know. She's pretty. He's hot. They're going out. You know, they're going to homecoming. End of story. Like, it's like that every year yep. when that happens.
Yep. Boilerplate. You know, and I don't want to complain about it too much or whatever because, you know, it may end up going somewhere cool. I don't know. But you kind of knew it was happening and you kind of got what you expected from it. You know. And I mean, that, like, this is why I like doing the show with you. As we talk about this stuff and I, you know, bitch and moan, I'm figuring out that, like, I think the thing that didn't save all the little problems for me was that there wasn't a big surprise. There wasn't a moment. There wasn't a binetting. There wasn't, you know, a red wedding. There wasn't a battle of the bastards even. There wasn't Ramsay getting eaten by his dogs. You know what I mean? Like, and there were moments that I guess were supposed to be that, but
yeah, I mean, I think the little finger thing was supposed to be the big one, and
but I was we had way already more.
Well, we already figured out because their behavior was so off the wall. We're trying to understand what could possibly be happening here. It didn't make any sense. So people are like, okay, maybe it's this, maybe it's this, maybe it's this. And then we ended up getting it right. I think Matt was the first person who I saw kind of bring up. And I was like, wow, that would be impressive. But isn't she going to lose the veil? Like, that was my whole concern. I'm like, how's she going to kill Littlefinger? Like, what the hell?
Mm-hmm. I think, you know, yeah, I was much more bothered by the dragon. So, and also just much more, I think, impressed with the scene and with the way it all went down. Yeah. All right, so what's going to happen next season, Tracy? Give me a prediction. I'm fucking terrible at predictions. You remember, what were my predictions this season? A, this is going to be the season of the fight between humans, and next season will be the fight with the Night's King. B, there's not going to be a high five scene between, I can't even say their name. I want to say Sonya and Anza.
Anza.
Sansa and Arya. I got that all wrong. I don't know. I could make a few more, but like my predictions were shit this season. Do you feel like you got any important ones right or wrong?
Oh no. I was totally wrong because I was thinking book too much, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I thought Cersei was going to be taken down in some mm-hmm. way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I really didn't think she would end the way she did. Like you said, no consequence, right? Like, I guess I expected consequences of some sort.
Yep, because they've come for everybody else.
I certainly thought Tormund would die. I thought we would lose some of those types of characters. I didn't think we'd see Beric because I didn't watch trailers. So
right.
I didn't watch the trailer till like right before the season started because I was already watching HBO and it was on and I'm like, all right, like chill out. It's tomorrow.
Right.
So I'm like, all okay, right, well, so Beric's there.
We've established that we're shit at predictions. So give me some predictions. what do you think is going to happen next season?
I predict
fighting with the Night King.
I mean, oh, so now we have got dead air, which is like the worst thing in the world. Well, I guess we will have some consequences for Cersei. Probably, if not at the hand of Jaime, with his full knowledge and support.
Okay, that's a good one.
You know, I think he'll be there. And okay with, well, you know, conflicted, but he'll go through with it. Wow, this is going to be the end. We're talking like serious endgame here.
This is it, man.
You know, Euron will make a couple waves, but that'll be it. Will Theon live? I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah.
God, I'm bored with that prediction.
Yeah, we didn't even talk about
Asha, but Yara. I'm bored with that shit. I think he's going to live too, and I'm already bored with it.
Yeah.
It hasn't even happened yet. I mean, we didn't talk about it because so what?
Yeah.
I mean,
inconsequential.
Like, she is relevant in as much as Tyrion is relevant. Or Tyrion. Theon is relevant. And Theon is irrelevant. So until you give me some other reason for her to be relevant, there's really not much to say. I mean, I do think that you know, Dany's finally going to get a chance to take her dragons against some boats. And she's just going to cook Euron and the Golden Company. And that will be, you know, the way Cersei's consequences start. So that'll be good.
So I think Tyrion is a big question mark because we got that weird look on his face at the end, at that final scene. And
yeah,
I think
what's
Susan...
he gonna sell her out to Cersei?
Well, Susan brought up some interesting stuff about a love triangle or whatever. I'm cringing at the thought of this. But...
Well, what she brought up... was the you know, George's original pitch, basically, three-page pitch for the story, right, to his publishers, in which he said, what was it, that John, Danny, and Tyrion end up in a love triangle?
No, right? John, Arya, and Tyrion.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah,
it was
super gross back then. Yeah, so that, you know, because that has to pay off, right? I mean, they wouldn't have, that was so deliberate, that shot, his face, they lingered on it. That's got to pay off.
Well, so, you'd think, but the goddamn sept didn't.
Well, I mean, but this is Tyrion.
Okay.
You know, like,
yep.
Tyrion,
you know, we talked about this with the Starks also, you know, Tyrion, I mean, what's like the worst thing he's done, I guess? Kill Tywin? Nobody was sad about that. Nobody was mad at him for that, right?
No, it was just shocking. That's it.
It was shocking. It was great. But nobody was like, ooh, I'm turning against Tyrion now, you know? And so Tyrion is another character similar to the Starks that's been pretty squeaky clean. You know, he killed Shay, which a lot of people, you know, are upset about, but I think more just kind of upset and like heartbroken for the whole scenario. You know, I don't think like the there weren't people that quit the show in the same way that people did over Sansa, right?
Because, well, the show kind of absolved Tyrion, where the book did not.
Right. Right. Where the book did not. So I think that, you know, but, you know, to start to throw some layers into Tyrion's character, you know, it's been a little while since he's had that.
Yes. yes. I mean, I spent dance willing myself to still care about Tyrion. He was so reprehensible through, what, 60, 70% of that thing? And that's a big book.
Right.
I mean, he was making me sick. And I'm watching this show, and he's just like the best character. All the show only people I know love him. He's the best. He's so smart. He's so funny. And I'm just like, he's awful.
Right. And I think, you know, I've read actually some interesting things about the difference between Shay and Sansa and stuff like that, you know, and some kind of, and I think that the difference has more to do with the way we feel about both Sansa and Shay, as well as Tyrion and Ramsay. You know, like, it's much easier to just be blanket pissed off at Ramsay and just be blanket upset at that whole scenario because you hate that character. Whereas with Tyrion, everybody loves him, and so they want to forgive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they want to move on, right? And there are lots of other reads on that whole thing, and, you know, the biases we bring to the table as far as that stuff goes. But, you know, to me, like, it has, for me, I think it has more to do with my feelings about Ramsay and Tyrion than Shay and Sansa. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see that. But again, I have to ask a question of consequences, which is, what exactly is he going to do? Is he going to kill one of the dragons? I mean, that would be a wild turn for him. Is he going to like work with Cersei? That seems hard to imagine, you know. So what exactly does him, what, you know, what exactly consequence does that have? Now, he would be presumably in place to try to physically harm Dany. You know, maybe he is the way John gets killed, because, you know, my big predictions for season 8 is Dany's pregnant and John's going to die. And I think I stole those actually from my wife, but I've said it so many times now I've forgotten. But I also don't think that either of those things are particularly original predictions. You know, I think both of those things, plenty of people could come up with that same thing and have. So, you know, but also lots of people said R plus L equals J, and that turned out to be real too. So I think that, you know, to some extent, once you're 5 books in, there's certain things that have been made fairly obvious. Right. So if that's the case, you know, even that being the case, is Tyrion the way that Jon dies? I don't know about that. So what are the consequences of him turning?
Well, maybe he could sort of do some, like, a betrayal in a sense that puts their side in a vulnerable position and Jon ends up getting killed. You know, like, he wouldn't actually kill him or send someone to kill him, but a decision of his.
Right, but I'm asking, what would that be? Like, what would that look like? Because either he kills Dany, he kills John, he kills a dragon, or he sells them out to Cersei.
Like, what? The sellout. I think that's the most realistic, because we didn't hear the rest of that damn conversation.
Ugh. That would be wild. Okay. I would be back on board if that happened.
Because why couldn't we hear it?
That would hurt my feelings.
I mean, partially, I think they just kind of need to be open, but.
Right.
But how amazing would that be, right? Because in the book, Tyrion has many sides, mm-hmm. and he's super complex, difficult mm-hmm. to love, mm-hmm. I think,
mm-hmm.
at this point in this story.
Yep.
Maybe the show needs that.
Also, more volatile in the, you know, than he is in the books. You know, or in the show. Like, in the show, he is trying to be Danny's rock. He's trying to be this, you know, and not, I don't say trying, that's what he's doing. And in the book, he's much more volatile, you know, so he's also in the book, I think, more jealous, you know, and I think that that's something that we might be starting to see more of too, because now, you know, Jorah's back and Jon is there and, you know, like, there's a lot more people around trying to give her advice, you know, and he is a much more jealous character in the books than in the show. So I think it would make sense to see some of that start to come back. It was just weird that it got placed at the moment of the sex. Because that, right, it's, because that made it about the sex. And I don't right. know that that's really accurate, you know?
I mean, Susan had some evidence for him possibly falling for her. And I don't know if I'm just not open to it because, I'm just sort of like, no, of course not. But maybe if I would just sort of get rid of that preconceived notion and watched it sort of clear, maybe I would see it too.
Maybe so. But if you think about Tyrion's, you know, Tyrion doesn't really talk about or think of himself as the swinging cocksman. You know what I'm saying? I'm sorry.
True.
You hate that word.
No, I just don't come say up with a better it. That's, way to say it's just it. Not for me. That,
you know what I mean.
I don't care if other people say
All
it.
All right,
yeah.
good. Because I probably say it too much. But he consorts with, he just doesn't think of himself. I don't know. I've just never really heard him like kind of talk of himself as someone who would be worthy of a queen, shall we say, right? Which is, I think, kind of how he would say it, you know? And so that's the thing with, you know, him kind of falling for her. I think it makes a certain amount of sense in terms of his emotional state, you know, work wife, right? That
yeah.
can happen in times of stress, you know, right? But in terms of his, like, in the book, he is able and eager to cut himself down to size. I don't know if that's a pun
yeah.
or not. I don't know if I'm supposed to ask for a pardon for that, but I think you
if
know what
this
I mean.
Were,
I'm speaking emotionally,
Joffrey,
of course.
If this were the Joffrey of podcast, that would be, it would fit right in.
Oh, yeah. You should listen to the Joffrey podcast, hashtag evergreen tweet. All right. Is that it? Do we have anything else we need to say? Is there more?
I mean,
is there...
you know what was a little Varys? I mean, like, he barely had any lines in the last couple episodes. So I hope that they give him a little bit more to do because I think he's really interesting.
Yeah. I
like
the
character a lot.
Him.
And I don't want him to be sidelined like that.
Yeah, and I like the beef between him and Melisandre is the most interesting thing that had happened to her in a long time, and it was based
yes.
on his hatred for magic, which is I think, you know, potent, you know, soil for exploring what he's doing with Dany, which is not happening. You know, like, we got the speech with him and her, but like that didn't address his feelings about magic at all. And kind of how all that's working out. And then you started to see those feelings come out a little bit more when he was talking to Melisandre, which then got dropped.
Right.
So I was hoping, you know, it makes sense that he would let that stuff out with Melisandre more than he would with Dany because, you know, she's a lot less of a direct threat, you would think. Right. So that was fine for me. But the fact that it went nowhere
was disappointing. Yeah. I'm hoping she'll come back, and yeah, they will.
And I haven't said that for 3 seasons, but I'm hoping she comes back. So,
you know what? I think I would like to watch some other seasons, or, you know, just like a few episodes from each of the other seasons, and then rewatch this one. And I feel like I'd be able to assess it a little better, kind of like in the whole body
Dude,
of work.
I'm totally down. Make a list. Make an episode list. I will watch the same list and we will
okay.
I will be more than happy to revisit this conversation. And we will also revisit this conversation once Winds of Winter is out. You know, we kind of see how stuff develops. You know, because like I said, I'll be interested to see what they did with what they had. But it's just hard for me to imagine there's gonna be so many freebies. So but do that because I would love to feel. I don't want to feel this way. I don't want to come on the podcast and just be a fucking downer for an hour. That sucks. Nobody wants to listen to that. You know, I mean, But, you know, I also don't want to come on here and, like, just, like, read this script that D&D Defender wrote, you know. I got to be honest with y'all. I got to be honest. I don't know how else to be.
D&D Defender.
I'm too old to change.
You know what? Let me be mushy for 1 second with the people who have been listening to us.
Do it.
So... thank you so much for being kind to us. When I started doing this, I totally expected my Twitter to be filled with just like hate tweets and, you know, people rolling their eyes at stuff that I said. So I appreciate people, you know, if you had something bad to say, you kept it to yourself. So thank you. And those of you that had nice things to say, I appreciate that very much. There are some people I want to shout out because they interact with you and with me and with Susan. Of course, Iantrone, Fizzlehoff, Diego, Shadowcat, Steve, Susan, of course, Kelly always, Stephanie, John McGonagall, all these people who kind of tweet us and kind of say, what about this? You didn't ask about that. You forgot this one little thing, and kind of like keeps the conversation going. So that is always welcome. And if anybody feels like, oh, I don't want to bother them, it's fine. It's Twitter. Don't worry about it.
Yep.
We'll see it. We'll talk about it. We love this stuff. So it's not a problem ever.
Yep. It's great. I mean, and it's also like, you know, like we said about Lost, and all, it just makes the whole experience of the whole thing so much better. You know, just being able to talk about it and think about it and hear other people's crazy ideas. Just makes the whole show better. So, Tracy, it's been great.
Mike, it's truly been a pleasure. Nobody Absolutely. Talks about this stuff like you. Passionate. even when you're unhappy, it's not evil. You mean what you say.
You know, man, this show has set a very high standard, and I don't mind, you know, like, that's why I like it, you know. So
I mean,
and that's,
you know, people
too.
Call it the best show on television, so I mean, it's got to be able to stand up to some criticism. It has to.
I mean, and also, you know, it's not, you know, I don't know. We love this stuff. Like, you know, I'm going to be reading this book the day that it comes out. I'm going to be watching this show the day that it comes out. Like, you know, we always say this, like, any complaints that we have are relative to the fact that this show is so good. If I was covering almost any other show on television, I would just be on here for an hour after every episode, like, you know, I just like, it would sound a lot more like this, you know. So this is one of those things where, you know, it really is like, it's so great, you know, and they've set such a high bar, you know, that I'm kind of extra bummed when it doesn't live up to it. So
I hear ya.
Anyway, enough out of me. This has been awesome. Thanks for joining us. Please keep with us, because we're going to be talking about lots of other things, and we'll probably be happier about them than we were about season 7. And check us out for some of our other shows. If you are going to watch The Deuce, man, I really would like for you to come listen to us, because this is going to be an exciting show, and we're going to be doing interviews, and it's going to be fun. So I don't want to talk too much about the other things that are coming up on the network, because they're not mine, but I'm telling you, I'm working hard on The Deuce, and it's going to be cool as shit. So thanks for joining us this season.
Thank
for Podcast
you.
Winterfell. This has been awesome. I'm Mike. That's Tracy.
I'm Tracy.
Yep. And we will be back next season for sure. If I have to go to New Jersey and sit on your porch with a reel-to-reel recorder, we will be back for next season.
So
I don't
honestly,
care what's,
it, guys,
if you're going for a doctorate.
It's a 15-minute drive, Mike. So like,
it's not that much of a sacrifice.
Stop it. You know what, though? The bridge costs, what, $20 now?
See, I will totally cop that to get you on this show, though.
Wow.
You kidding me? You kidding me?
That's what keeps me out of the city. Oof, $20 to cross the bridge.
Podcast Winterfell from New York City and right across that $20 bridge. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back next season. Talk to you later.
Thank you for listening to Podcast Winterfell. Podcast Winterfell is a part of the DVR Podcast Network. You can check us out at dvrpodcast.com. Become a patron. go to patreon.com/DVR. Follow us on Twitter at Winterfell Pod. Follow us on Facebook at Podcast Winterfell. And follow the DVR Podcast Network at DVR Podcast.